ハリボ
ー、ハリハリハリ。You told me three times to chant Hari, so I did. Vijay, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Hare Krishna, very honored to have your august presence here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai. Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manomapi Shachiputram Atraswarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartin Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prabto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shivishakhanvitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tina Smarane Hoy Bigna Vinashan Anayashi Hoy Nijavanchita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're being hosted by Achyuta Chaitanya Prabhu, that's your name, is it? I see. And you're regularly hosting Bhagavad Gita talks here, is it? Oh, okay, thank you. And I was asked to speak topics related to Bhagavad Gita, particularly because you're regularly hosting talks here. Okay, which among you are regularly attending the Bhagavad Gita talks here? Please raise a hand. Okay. Please, some of you can tell me which verses of Bhagavad Gita particularly inspire you, appeal to you. Anyone from any of the attendees? Yeah.
I don't know the verse, but there is that one verse in chapter 9, right, which says that even if you offer Lord Krishna just...
If we offer Krishna leaf or flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. So that inspires you. Okay. You're quite new, it seems, to the topics of Gita. Anyone else? Yeah.
Prabhu, chapter 11, verse 36. Sthane Rishikesha Tava Prakirtya Jagat Praharshyatan. Arjuna, where Arjuna says to Lord Krishna about his kirti and how it eliminates Rakshas Gana.
Oh, hey. Anyone else? Not one of the most well-known verses in Gita. I don't think Srila Prabhupada quoted that beyond having it in his Gita.
525.
Yeah, but I want the regular, not the old timers, the new timers. For that matter, the that verse, which verse, that one of the verses of Shikshastra, I noticed, which verse is that? Srila Prabhupada doesn't quote it at all in his lectures or in his books. Which verse is that? I believe, Nayanam Galadashrita. Yeah, he doesn't quote it. So, Ainanda he quotes repeatedly. Anyone else? Any thoughts? Favorite Gita verses? Okay, 525.
Great. What is it? What's the word?
Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishir Sangshaya. What is it? China Rishir
Kshina. China Dvaita Yitamana Sarva Bhuta Hitairataha.
Sarva Bhuta Hitairataha. This line comes up repeatedly in Gita. That here in the fifth chapter, it's generic transcendentalists, and then later in the 12th chapter, it comes up again specifically, the devotees who are always engaged in welfare activities for others. Anyone in particularly inspired by Namang Duskritino Murha Prapadyante Naradhamaha Maya Prahritagyana Asurang Bhavamashritaha? Krishna says there four kinds of rascals, miscreants, who never surrender to me. They're foolish, the lowest among mankind, those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and those who partake of the nature of demons. Anyone feels particular inspiration from that? You get inspiration. Srila Prabhupada said this is a very important verse. What about avajananti mamudha manushing tanamashritam param bhavma jananto mama bhuta maheshwaram? The mudhas, again Krishna used the word, the fools and rascals, they don't know me. They think that I'm just another living being who's in a human body. They don't know my superior nature. Manashintana, Parambhama Jananta Mamambu, and that I am the Lord of all living beings. They don't know that. So there are what we could say positive verses in Gita. What about this one? Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mang Namaskaru Mame Vaishasi Yukdvaivam Atmanam Parayanaha. And then Mame Vaishasi Satyante Pratijane. So always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, do this and surely you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. That's very inspiring, isn't it? Ananyas Chintayanto Mang Yejana Paryupasati Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahami Aham. Give up your jobs. Go with me, just join Mahotsav on full-time book distribution. Always think of Krishna, then you don't have to work. Or you can join the LIC, that's also their motto, isn't it? That yoga kshemam vahami aham. That's what they say, LIC, Life Insurance Corporation of India. There are some verses in Gita which appear to be very positive and inspiring, and some which appear to be not so inspiring and negative. So there are positive and negative approaches in Krishna consciousness according to Bhagavad Gita. Most of chapter 16 describes the demons, and throughout Gita, Ashadadhana Purusha, Dharmasya Siparantapa Aprapya Mangdevartante Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani. Throughout Gita, Krishna says, the ninth chapter, Krishna says that those who are faithless on this path of devotion, they cannot attain me, but they revert, they bloop, they go back to the ocean of repeated birth and death. which side should we emphasize the most? What should we emphasize the most? The question arises, well, I was told that recently in this area a traveling preacher had made the statement that if we concentrate too much on anartha nivritti, then we'll become impersonalists. So we should emphasize on artha pravritti. That means if we emphasize too much on the negative side, becoming free from all the bad things in our hearts, that's not good. We should emphasize more on the positive, what we stand to attain. And I was told that, of course, I don't know exactly what was said, but I was told that this had caused some confusion in the minds of some of the hearers. So, what should it be? Well, the whole Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada said that if we understand even one line from Bhagavad Gita, we can make our life perfect. Which line are you going to choose? Ashradadhana purusha. Okay, I'll remain ashradad, without faith. From the beginning, we have to know what we're in it for, right? What are we doing in Krishna consciousness? What's our aim? Is our aim simply to become free? What was that verse you quoted? What comes before that? Rishaya kshina kalmasaha. The rishis, they become all the dirt in their heart is cleansed away. That's like anartha nivritti. So that's there, but that's not what it's all about. After they become cleansed from all the bad things in the heart, then labhante brahma nirvanam, then they achieve moksha and sarva. And then when you have attained moksha, then the next thing is you work to help others attain also, as we're again. Let's see if we can remember that verse again. That santa mahanto nevasanti santa vasantaval loke. What is it? Vasantaval? Okay, you have to look it up again. It's not from Bhagavad Gita. It's from Vivek Churamani. That's Vasantaval loke hitam charanti. Tirna swayam bhavanava. Bhima bhavanavanam. Janan ahetanyapi lo tarayantaha. That's it. It's from Vivek Churamani. Don't read that book. But it's a good verse, which says that the saintly persons, they're very peaceful within themselves. They're fresh like the spring season. They're always engaged in the welfare work for others. They've personally crossed over the terrible ocean of material existence, and they work to lift others up also. So that's an elaboration on sarvabhu. Practically, it's an elaboration on this verse. That's by Shankaracharya. And it's a very good verse if applied to Vaishnavas. But don't read the rest of Vivek Churamani, or otherwise we'll see your tilak changing. We should know what is our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is not simply to become free from material desires, nor can we become free from material desires without having them purified into spiritual desires, which Krishna also discusses in the Bhagavad Gita. Very important point. What's that verse? Paramdushvan. Vishayavini vartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjang rasopyasya parandrishvanyam. Don't, simply by starving niraha, simply by starving the senses, we don't conquer over the hunger of the senses, the demands of the senses, but by getting a higher taste, we are fixed in proper consciousness. So we should know what is our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is understanding that we are eternal servants of Krishna. We should fully surrender to Krishna, be established in love of Krishna, Krishna prema. Krishna prema is the ultimate goal. And we need to be regularly reminded about that also. That there is a better place in the world than Silicon Valley. Well, actually, beyond this world. Right? You're all, I think most of you were born in, not in a, the United States of America. Probably less than 10% of the persons present here today were born in this great land. The land of the free, the land of the brave. Here we have one, maybe two. Were you born? No, you weren't born in America. You were born here also. They're real Americans. Okay, so when you got your visa for America, you were very excited and happy, weren't you? Parastasmat tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanah yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyasu navinashati. Beyond this material world, believe it or not, in Silicon Valley there is birth, death, old age and disease. Most of the people here are intelligent, right? But I'm going to say intelligent enough to have some understanding that they're miserable. Actual intelligence begins with that, not with working for Google. I could also get a job for Google, working as a janitor or something. They also need janitors, don't they? Someone could say, I work for Google. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I clean the toilets. It's also a job for Google, right? We have to know our ultimate goal, that this material world is miserable. We should know that. But there is a place beyond that which we have to go to. That's where we have to go, back home. Back to Godhead. Our ultimate goal is Krishna prema. But before coming to Krishna prema, we're talking about these two words, right? Anartha nivritti, becoming free of all those things which are extraneous to our pure spiritual consciousness. And artha pravritti, developing that which is our real need, our real necessity. Paramartha, prayojan. Krishna prema. Krishna vishayak prema param purusharta jarage chunatulla chari purusharta. Love. Who is it? Just now someone's asked about love, right? So the object of love is Krishna. The object of love is Krishna. That is our highest need and goal, in comparison to which the four goals of pious life, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, they're all insignificant, like straw in the street. So we should aim at prema, and there is a process. We have to go through the process. In Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses this process. That's in the Vita Raga Bhayakrodha, I believe. It's just that those verses are quoted, right? What are those verses? Ado Shadha Tata Sadhu Sangha Ataha Bhajana Kriya Then Anartha Nivritti Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. Okay, so Prema is the goal, but we have to go through the stages. And Anartha Nivritti comes at the fourth point. Actually, it begins as soon as we start to have a little faith. That in itself is the beginning of our Anartha Nivritti and associating with devotees and taking up the activities of devotional service. But it's mentioned as the fourth stage because getting to the positive point, coming, we actually get on the fixed platform. The love for Krishna, we can say, begins at the stage of ruchi, or it's just beginning there. But we should understand that we have many impediments in our heart. I said I'd speak about this, right? Yeah, there are many material attachments, misconceptions, which are deeply in our heart from a long time. It's a cleansing process. Cheto darpana marjanam, deep in the heart. So many things which we may not even know is there until we start the scrubbing process. Some of you are from Tamil Nadu, I presume. Mostly from Andhra speaking, Telugu. Is it any Tamil people? Only one or two. Oh, yeah, okay. I was just thinking, what was that festival? They have the time of Pongal, the bogi. They take all the garbage, all the rubbish out of the house and burn it all. We have Gundicha Marjan in the Gorya. Well, it's actually Orissa, Puri. So it's like when you clean things up very thoroughly, you find all kinds of dirt which you didn't even realize was there. So when we take up Krishna consciousness, we may suddenly think, oh, I've got so many dirty things in our heart, in my heart. I didn't see them before. We don't see them. We didn't see them. Well, that's another anartha, not to see it. We know we're becoming cleansed when we start to see all the dirt. It's like if you go into the hospital, you complain, well, everyone's sick here. This is a terrible place. Yeah, but at least they're taking the process. They're supposed to get healed, at least theoretically. We have to go through the stages. And it is important to understand that we have bad things in our hearts. And we have to work on cleansing them. Now, it's said that just by taking up Krishna consciousness, we can overcome all these bad things in the heart. But part of the process of Krishna consciousness is hearing about all these bad things. And we have rules which are meant to purify the heart and to hasten our detachment or our non-attachment to all these bad things. The rules means there's vidhi, you should do this. You should only take food which is offered to Krishna, which is offerable to Krishna. Cooked by devotees with love, patrang pushpang, this verse you were quoting, food we should offer to Krishna. And then there are things we should not do. A positive injunction means there's a concomitant negative injunction. You should eat only Krishna prasad, which means we shouldn't eat food cooked by non-devotees. We should associate with devotees, which means we should do not associate with non-devotees. So there are many do-nots in the present age, especially maybe more in California than anywhere else. People don't like the kind of religion which tells so many don't, do not, do not, do not. They just want to feel the spiritual and be free and don't tell me any rules. But the rules are to help us to become free from all the bad things. We have to be told. A pure devotee of Krishna doesn't have to be told, don't watch pornography. We may need to be told. But I think anyone who's coming to any religious path will, practically even without being told, that's such a gross example. But it is one that devotees struggle with. Some devotees struggle with. We should know that we can learn from Bhagavad Gita, sense gratification, keeps us in the material world. It's more elaborately described in Bhagavatam. Whatever's there in Gita is more elaborately described in Bhagavatam. Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayoraho hridya grantimahu ato griha kshetra sutabda vitaya janasya mohoyam ahammameti. This aham mama, thinking in terms of I, me and mine, becomes very strong when we indulge in sexual attachment, which gives rise to attachment to home, wife, children, bank balance, prestige, and so many other things. In this way, we're illusioned in so many ways. We need to hear these things. It may not be pleasant to hear, just like the doctor goes to the patient goes to the doctor and says, well, I have this, and the doctor says, well, you've got this disease, a very serious disease, you're going to have to take some very stringent treatment. If the doctor thinks, well, I don't want to make the patient upset, actually they need chemotherapy, which is a horrible treatment. I'm just using this as an example. So, I don't want to upset him. I'll spoil his day by telling him he's got cancer. So I won't tell him. Yeah. But he should tell, and then you have to take this treatment. And so it's a very unpleasant treatment. But you have to do it if you want to get healthy. If before we are past material attachments, past that stage, material attachments and misconceptions, material desires, if we only want to concentrate or emphasize so much on artha pravritti, then that becomes imbalanced. Artha pravritti means we want to discuss so much about Krishna's sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. That's good, isn't it? To discuss about Krishna's sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. That's wanted. But if we discuss only about that and emphasize that only without understanding our actual position, then we become sahajya. That means those who take everything very cheaply. We're talking about Mother Yashoda is looking in the mouth of Krishna. If you see, it's a very sweet pastime. Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna with a stick. It's a very sweet pastime. It's very nice to hear about. Shrinu Sukhadam, Sukhadam Bhavasaram. It gives great happiness and auspiciousness within this world of birth and death. But if we think, well, yeah, let's only discuss that. We're already there, right? That we only need to discuss Leela. Then we take things very cheaply. If we don't also discuss, I need to get free from material attachments, I have to follow the rules and regulations, then we become sahajya. One side, the proposition was there, if we overemphasize anartha nivritti, we become impersonalists. Well, that's possible because if we only emphasize anatta, really becoming free from material desires, then without any positive spiritual goal of love of Krishna, well, that's what the impersonalists do. Srila Prabhupada quoted Ramana Maharshi, who you may have heard. If you haven't heard of him, no loss. Now you've heard of him. As saying, man minus desire equals God. And God is something less than man. It's got something less than man. That's the impersonalist idea. And they have some strange ideas. Many strange ideas. So if we don't know what our real spiritual goal is, to attain love of Krishna, Krishna Pade Prema Dhan, love of Krishna, lotus feet of Krishna, then we become dry. If we're only talking bad things, don't do this, don't do that, and we become dry. On the other hand, we need to know what we need to do to progress on the spiritual path. For instance, we need to avoid bad association, we need to avoid bad food, we need all things which are opposed to the principle of pure devotional service. One side there's anukulyasya sankalpa, we should vow to accept enthusiastically those things which are favorable for our spiritual advancement, and pratikulyasya varjanam, to give up those things which stand as obstacles in our advancement. We may think, well, we know what the highest thing is, love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna, ecstasy. Let's go for it. We may think like that. Let's just go for it. Life is short. We don't have much time. Let's just go right to Krishna Prem straight away. But then we find we can't. We may think that the child, there may be a child just going to school learning elementary arithmetic, and they may see their older cousin or studying calculus. They say, oh, that's also got numbers. So why am I doing this? 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 3 times 2,473 equals... anyone? Shakuntala? No. Not here. That's nothing for Shakuntala. You need to have 7-digit numbers. Why should I bother with all this basic stuff? But you try and do calculus, it's impossible. You can't study calculus. You may talk the words. There's this integral calculus and differential calculus, and you may say the words, but what does it mean to you? E equals mc squared. You've all heard it. What does it mean? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Anyone like to explain it to me? I haven't got a clue what it means. You can take a number which represents energy and a number which represents mass and a number which represents the speed of light, but to actually multiply, how can you multiply mass when it's not, you can only multiply numbers, right? So, I'm bewildered even trying to think about it. Don't try to run before you can walk. Simple advice. So that's an example that we can't just jump up to the highest level. We can imitate it. But really, we have to start at the beginning. And it takes quite a few years to get from arithmetic to calculus, and then way, and there's so many things beyond. That's as far as I got. That's why I don't know beyond that. I dropped out of school after calculus. What we often see, devotees, they want to go to the highest level, but often they'll talk of high things, but then in their basic behavior, they can't maintain the basic principles. And that we also see, sahajya, prakrita sahajya. They talk high things, they talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. They engage in sometimes very gross sense gratification. And they justify it, saying that, no, well, we love Krishna. We have these feelings in our heart. We don't need all these rules because I already love Krishna. But Krishna gives the rules. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us to be detached, to give up sense gratification. We find this in the beginning of Gita. Arjuna's desire not to fight was impelled by sense gratification. And in the beginning, Arjuna isn't asking about devotion, nor is Krishna talking about it. He's talking about the sthita pragya, one whose consciousness is fixed. Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshva. What about someone who is detached from this world? That's the discussion. And Krishna says that someone who's fixed in consciousness, he's free from sense gratification. What's the next verse? Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshva sthitati kim prabhasheta. Kim asita vrajeta kim? And what's the next one? Prajahati yada kaman. Sarva patamanogatan. Atmanyevyatmana tushta stita pragyastadochate. Krishna says that a person who's fixed in consciousness, to unpack that verse very simply, means that he's not engaged in sense gratification and is not interested. He's gone beyond that stage. So this is the beginning teaching, giving up all mental concoctions, fixed in consciousness. So this shouldn't be taken lightly, that it's just giving up sense gratification. Yeah, it's if we're honest, we have to admit it's not a small thing. It's not such an easy thing. That we can, it's nice to think about Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. It's the goal of life. But we should be realistic and understand that we have so many dirty things in the heart which we have to overcome. And if we don't make an endeavor to overcome that, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to Vraja Leela. Just by imagining it. You can go to Vrindavan. Which you want to go, Pacific route or Atlantic route? It's about the same distance from here, isn't it? Either way. You fly into Delhi, get a taxi. Now it's that Noida highway, what is it called? Noida Expressway. Yamuna Expressway. And you can be in Vrindavan quick. And you can go to your famous, your favorite five-star air-conditioned resort in Vrindavan, which wasn't there when I first went to Vrindavan. And you can have all air-conditioning, a huge screen TV, and you can go to Vrindavan.
Wow.
Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Habe Man Tobe Hama Herabo Sri Vrindavan. When the mind, when I give up sense gratification and my mind is pure, then I can begin to see Vrindavan. Otherwise you can buy a ticket and go. Let's all go to Vrindavan. Sounds good. But if we really want to go, you can be in Vrindavan right here by having the consciousness of Vrindavan, and we can be in Vrindavan superficially, but not really be there at all. We can talk prem, 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 but we have to have freedom from material desire. And that's the beginning teaching of Bhagavad Gita. First of all, Krishna gives knowledge of the self, Atma-gyan. In Hindi, the science of self-realization, that book is, the title is translated as, what is it? Atma-vigyan. What is it? Atma-sakshakaka-vigyan. The science of self-realization. So, Atma-gyan. That's there in the beginning, because Arjuna was feeling so much love for his family members. And Krishna, he didn't listen. Arjuna was really disturbed. He was traumatized. Krishna didn't respond with empathetic feelings. He called him a eunuch, which for a kshatriya is the worst insult, and especially for Arjuna, because if you want to insult... If you want to insult someone, is it lesson on how to insult someone, you find out what's the most embarrassing thing they've done in their life, and we've all done embarrassing things, and you emphasize that. So for Arjuna, the most embarrassing thing possible for a kshatriya is to become a eunuch, and Krishna, Klaibhyang Masma, where did you... How did you become a eunuch again? He really insulted him very heavily. That's like slapping him in the face, verbally. And then Krishna starts to discuss that we're not the body. We don't have any relationship with these bodies. Krishna speaks of, speaking Atma-gyan. And then the result of knowing that we're knowing, of knowing we're not the body, is then we have to get free from that consciousness of thinking we are the body, which ties us in material life. So we have to have self-control and detachment. There's a whole long discussion. It takes quite some time before Arjuna gets the gist of it, because he keeps on asking again and again, What about this? What about that? You're telling me about detachment, and then you're telling me to fight, and he doesn't get it. Not until the very end of the sixth chapter is the topic of bhakti introduced clearly and directly. Srila Prabhupada, according to Singhavalokananyai. And you know what this means? Singhavalokananyai, anyone? I saw it in the Deccan Herald in Hyderabad, quoted, this was about 30 or 40 years ago. And it was supposed that the readers would know it. It was mentioned, Singhavalokananyai. That's the difference between India 30, 40 years ago and now. That people were expected to know it. It means going ahead and looking back. The lion, when he walks in the jungle, something like, well, that was a snoring sound. I was trying to make a lion roaring sound. I'm not very good at imitating animals. If you want to embarrass me, you can tell me. Say you're a useless imitator of animals. I've done much more embarrassing things than that. So, Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, explains everything in terms of bhakti, which some critics criticize. But if we see the actual message which Krishna comes starting in the 7th chapter, then it's applicable. But really, Krishna only very clearly starts speaking about bhakti in the last verse of the 6th chapter, and from then on, especially in chapters 6 to 12. But, yeah, all of that. And in the conclusion of bhakti also, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mame vaishasi satyante pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, in this way you will surely come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Then Krishna says, I hope you all know what the verse is after that. Sarvadhaman parityajya mame kam sharanam raja ahang tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. In the previous verse, Krishna has emphasized the positive very much, but now he's saying, you give up all these worldly dharmas, fully surrender to me, and I'll deliver you from all sin. So it's a mixture of both. You have to get free from all these sins, surrender to me. Mm. In the Bhagavatam, we have in the beginning, Pibhata Bhagavata Rasamalayam, drink the nectar of this Bhagavatam. Up until the last breath of your life. But prior to this, Vyasadeva says, Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. Here, all cheating religion is kicked out. This is Vedyam Vastavam. This is the real message of the Vedas. So there's warnings. We're kicking out all the rubbish here. You kick out all the rubbish, and then you can appreciate this Shukamukhad Amrita Drava Sangyatam, this soft, sweet nectar touched by the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read Bhagavad Gita, then Bhagavatam, then go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita very much emphasizes artha pravritti, the paramartha, the real goal, the highest goal. Especially in the Antya Leela. But there in the Antya Leela we also have the chastisement of Chota Haridas. Throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are warnings again. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam also, which is the smiling face of Krishna, we have again and again discussions of going beyond the misconceptions, the bad things in the heart. Yasyatma bhuti kunape tridhatuke svati kalatra deshu bhoma ijati. Yatirta buddhi salilena karhiji janeshva bigneshu sa eva gokara. For instance, in the 10th canto, Krishna, speaking to highly elevated sages, talks about the bodily conception of life. Someone who thinks this body is me, who thinks that the land of my birth is worshipable, or it can be. Bhoma Ijadi can also be understood to mean that if you think that just the material which makes up the deities in the temple is worshipable, that's also an interpretation of that. Bhoma, Ija means that which is worshipable, and Bhoma made from earth. Or who goes to a holy place and think, I went and I took a bath. My work is done. I went and bathed in Ganga Snagar on Makar Sankranti. Now, nothing else to do. I got moksha. I heard this over 40 years ago. Our accountant at ISKCON Calcutta, Mr. Dasgupta, went and took a bath at Ganga Sagar on Makar Sankranti. Next day he came, took a day off work, came back, now I've got moksha. I took birth in the right place at the right time. So these warnings are there. Yeah, anyone who thinks like that, Krishna says, anyone who thinks like that is no more intelligent than a cow or an ass. So Chaitanya Charitamrita warns us against sensual fall down, against Mayavad, against bad association. Shikshashtaka, Ashishyava Padritam. There is nothing higher than the feelings of Radha for Krishna, her love for Krishna, which is encapsulated in this final verse of Shikshashtaka. But in the beginning we have Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleaning the heart. You have to clean the effects of chanting the holy names are realized in various levels. Puramrita Svadanam, tasting full nectar. But the first effect is cleansing the heart. So what do we do? A balanced approach. Who likes gulab jamuns? I guess I should put up my hands also. Or what do they prefer in South India? This chakka pongal? Payasam, if you say payash in Bengal, it means with milk, but in South India it means with coconut milk, right? Payasam. With coconut milk. Neutrally speaking, I would say that the Tamil cooking is better than the Telugu. Now you're all attached. Boma. What is that? Boma Ijadi. The land of my birth is worshipable. What else have we got there, down there? This... we're talking about sweets here. Adi Rasam, that's Mysore Pak. If you can do it. Anyway, but if you eat only gulab jamuns, you're going to get sick. Need a balanced diet. Eat healthy. Buy from the organic shop. Everything wrapped in nice plastic. So we should know our goal. Our aim is Krishna Prem. How are we introduced to that? The aim is to swim in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of Bhakti Rasa. How can we begin to enter that ocean? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kama dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. Again, talking about desire, we should cultivate the sense of having no other desires than to serve Krishna. So in this term, anyabhilashita, shunyam, it has this the sense of both overcoming the bad things in our hearts and anya abhilash, means we do have a desire, but it's not this bad desire. So both things are encompassed, and that is the beginning. So that I was supposed to speak about Bhagavad Gita, but this topic I was told about overemphasizing anartha nivritti. In my observation, if we have a problem in this sphere at all, it's more of overemphasis of artha pravritti in our Vaishnava circles in the world today. There's more talk of prem and rajlila. It's more on that side. If there is any imbalance, in my observation, it's more toward the side of emphasizing the goal without sufficient emphasis of what we need to get there. Hare Krishna, any question or comment, please? Let's not talk about diet, Tamil, Telugu, Bengali, or whatever. Sorry for introducing these mundane considerations. But it's not mundane if you offer it to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, if you have any material desire, you have to remain in the material world. A devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what if I have a desire, even to eat one sweet ball? Prabhupada said, offer it to Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, brilliant talk, Maharaj. Actually, I can relate it with 7:15 and 7:16 you quoted. They are the devotees who are averse, the people who are averse to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave a big purport there.
Long purport.
Yeah. And 16.
One of the longest purports in Bhagavad Gita or in his books at all. Yeah. The longest purport is in all of his books discusses the misrepresentations of Shankaracharya.
And the 16 is actually quite shorter purport he just quoted on Navilashita Swinyam. But Maharaj, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, we see that Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Braja. But when Ramananda Rai actually quoted this verse.
Yeah, he said that is external.
So can you please?
Yeah, well, Srila Prabhupada himself explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to come to the point of Krishna Prem. That's what he's. So that, yeah, Bhagavad Gita is external in the sense it's for us. Srila Prabhupada said once, Bhagavad Gita is for the samsaris. It's for people who are in the material world who need to get out of it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met with Ramananda Rai, wanted to know about the, he wanted to go, what is this discussion with Ramananda? It's famous as the topmost theistic discussion. So the entrance into that is to come to the point of hearing about Krishna with full attention, with full faith, even while living in this world. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, this is good, but then he wanted to know more, and then he went up and up and up. There's also a misconception because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first thing which Ramananda suggested was to worship Krishna while performing our duties in Varnashram. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. And so he said, oh, Varnashram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. But then he also rejected in his discussion with Ramananda Rai, Sarvadhaman Parityaja. So you're going to reject that also? We have to understand everything contextually.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Could you comment on the verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadupihi?
Comment on the verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadupihi Idangta Vishnu. If we Hridroga Kama, if we hear the pastimes of Krishna with faith, specifically the pastimes of the Gopi Leela, then the disease in the heart will be cleansed, which seems to go against everything I've been saying in this talk. In this regard, commenting on this, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we should hear, but if we find that our lusty desires are increasing, then be sensible, we should stop. Hearing with faith means with faith in everything that's been described in Shastra prior to that, beginning with Bhagavad Gita. understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is beyond mundane lust. With that faith, we should hear. So we're not saying we shouldn't hear, but we should have that firm faith and conviction that Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, they're not anything mundane. Which, if we only hear that while we're still ourselves attracted to male-female interactions in this material world, we're going to take it as something mundane. That will arise and it will degrade us. And we see. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they stood so much against these Prakriti Sahajiyas who would only discuss these things and indulge in sinful activities. They took it as an excuse for mundane sense gratification. If we hear Krishna is dancing with the gopis and then removing their clothes, touching their breasts, if we're not firmly fixed in love of Krishna, or at least to the stage that we're free from mundane inclinations, then by hearing about it, it can be very dangerous for us also. Shukadev didn't describe it in detail. That was revealed more later by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And there's that Grantha Samadhi in Vrindavan. We're not sure exactly what's there, but there may be so many things which they're not meant for ordinary people. For the Srila Prabhupada said that this Gita Govinda, that was Jayadeva composed, that's meant for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not meant for everyone. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati proposed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had established a printing press, we should print Gita Govinda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no. Again he asked him, no. Third time he asked him, okay, print one copy for yourself. That's all. He refused. So much damage can come. It's a very risky thing because on the one hand, this is what we have to preach. This is what we have to aim for. At the same time, if we're not ready for it, it will destroy us. Ghee is recommended in Ayurveda as the best nourishing food, and it's certainly very tasty. But if we are diseased and we can't digest it, it'll turn to poison and make us more sick, as we probably all have that experience. And we like to eat foods cooked in ghee even when we're sick because it tastes nice. But it'll make us more sick. So we should see what we can digest. Don't be foolish, Srila Prabhupada said, in this regard, when he was asked about what is that verse? Prikriritam Vajavadhu Biridhang Chavishno. Bhaktiṃ Param. They will develop the highest devotion. Then, Ashu, very quickly. So, is it happening? You have to see. Then, okay, anything else? Yes, please. Dare I say it?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It would be nice, all our devotees coming from cultured Indian backgrounds, the ladies could also dress in their cultured dress style. Dare I say it? Well, I said it now. Someone should say it. Don't mind.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful lecture.
Yeah, everyone says that about every lecture, so it becomes meaningless.
It was about being practical in spreading the Krishna consciousness. So, my question is related to the thing as you mentioned in the beginning that we need to address the bad habits. But while addressing that, it is very possible that we may offend someone when we are trying to address those issues. So
whatever you do, someone will criticize. And if you do nothing, someone will criticize you for doing nothing. At some point in our sojourn within this material world, we have to take to pure devotional service. If we take to pure devotional service, some people won't like it. Guaranteed. So if you live your whole life on the principle of not trying to offend anyone, you'll fail. Just like to take a hot button issue. We're not supposed to talk about politics, especially highly charged issues. But if someone says, yes, we should support Israel, some people will become very offended. And if others say, well, we shouldn't support Israel, some people will become very offended. If I say that you should, coming from the background you're coming from especially, dress in a manner which is more suitable for Vaishnavis, you may become offended. But still I should say it. I don't know if you like it or not, but I should say it. If I don't say it, then everything gradually goes down, down, down. So everyone thinks it's all right to dress in any way. This Western style of dressing is not proper for those who are on the spiritual path. Maybe that's why you asked the question. I don't know. You may say it's a small thing, but there are reasons for this. There's a reason why there's a dress code for Vaishnavas. Of course, there are those who say, well, there is no dress code. You can dress any way you like, but that's not what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He says, what is that verse? Gaura Bhakata Priya Besha Dadhana Tilak Tulasi Mala Shobamana. He says, as one of the favorable items in bhakti, I will dress in a manner that is dear, pleasing to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So, I was just going to make it as a side point, but as you asked that question, I elaborated on it as an example. But it is important. At least some of the Indian people coming to the West are concerned that their children are losing all their culture. That culture is the culture of the spiritual world. Krishna dresses in a certain way, eats in a certain way, has certain habits and ways of dealings. And as much as we adopt that, that will help us in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not the central point, but it's an important auxiliary point. So it's good, all of you. Even if you're working, you come direct from work to this kind of satsang. Bring your dhoti. If you dress like a Vaishnava, it helps you to feel like a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada used that example, like a policeman. He's dressed as a policeman, it helps him to feel, I'm a policeman, and people recognize him as such. Okay, I didn't want to elaborate. Actually, I do want to elaborate that point very much, but that wasn't particularly the subject of this talk. Actually, this saying, don't offend anyone, don't offend anyone, don't offend anyone, it's definitely very strongly there in Shastra, but I don't see that our own Srila Prabhupada said it again and again and again and again and again. And it is actually what the Sahajiyas say. Because I'm chanting Hare Krishna and don't criticize anyone. Well, there are certain things you should criticize. because it's bogus. It's misrepresenting. It's offensive to all the acharyas. So it should be said. And if you say, then offensive. That's what they say. But then what happens if you don't say, and then, well, everything's okay. And then you're offensive to Rupa Goswami, who gives us rules and regulations. So you can't avoid upsetting someone. I'd rather upset a neophyte devotee than go against Rupa Goswami. Maybe if I upset the neophyte devotee, they might actually start to think about what I'm saying. And if what I'm saying is in line with Rupa Goswami, they might start to take it seriously. Or, even if they don't take it seriously, those who aren't thinking about it and who are serious about advancing in Krishna consciousness can think, oh, that's right. Otherwise, we tend to think that, everything's okay. Whether you eat food, you buy some bread from a store, you can also stick it in front of Krishna and call it prasadam. And you know, all the other devotees are doing it. Why are you criticizing? You're offensive to so many devotees. And then this way standards go down. And then we don't advance on the path of Krishna consciousness. We're cultivating anarthas in the name of Krishna consciousness. So someone should criticize. It's required to point it out. There are so many examples. Maybe more among the Western devotees. I think for those who come newly to Krishna consciousness, they may think that having a beard is compulsory for Vaishnavas. Because most of the male devotees have beards, and no one says anything about it, so that's part of the show, right? You have to have a beard. Not the women, of course, but for the men. They may think like that. That's what you have to do. Everyone, they all do it. And you have to have big tattoos. That's required, men and women, right? Everyone does it. No one says anything against it. So that's what Vaishnavas do. They may think like that. And then if you don't do it, they think there's something wrong with you. Doesn't have a beard, not a bona fide Vaishnava. Something wrong with him. Hare Krishna, we should finish as you all have to go to work tomorrow. I don't have to go to work. That book I wrote on speaking strongly in Krishna consciousness addresses this point in detail. I got so fed up of people telling me I shouldn't say the things which I learned from Srila Prabhupada that I should say, that I wrote a whole book about it. Okay, I'll take a break, chant Gayatri, and come back after a few minutes. Thank you so much, Vijay Prabhu, for gracing our presence. Hare Krishna. Okay.